That's the title cut from a new album called Low Down and Lonesome, Southern Illinois artist Kendall Marvel's joining us in the studio. First off, Kendall, it's good to see you again, pal.
Good seeing you, Tom.
You know, and here's the other thing, Low Down and Lonesome, this is a new CD, and if somebody were to walk up to me today and say, well, you know, it's nice to see an overnight success like Kendall Marvel, I'd have to punch him in the throat.
And I would have to hit him right behind you.
Because you have been literally on the stage in Southern Illinois since you were a little guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since early 80s.
Early
80s. While, yeah.
It's been early 80s. But you didn't leave Southern Illinois and go to Nashville till 98.
Right. Yeah, so, I was way grown.
What made you decide to say, okay, I've had enough, I'm going to go take that chance, I'm going to go to Nashville. What started that? How'd you?
Shad got me a job at General Tire, actually. And I worked up there for a couple of years, and I was like working them 12-hour midnight shifts. And
right.
I was like, man, it's a pretty good job, you know, for around here, but it is not what I want to do.
You decided to take your stab at it.
I did.
A lot of the guys that I've known from Southern Illinois who have gone to Nashville, they go down there and they go, there's a lot of really talented people around here. You know, there's a guitar slinger in every corner. There's a songwriter at every corner. It's a tough business.
The best in the world, I think, are their musicians and songwriters. And
nobody knows who they are.
Nope. Behind the scenes people. And, you know, I either decided I could be a big fish in a small pond or jump into the big pond and be a little fish for a while.
Is something about Southern Illinois make you a country boy poet? You got David Lee Murphy. You know, we've had a lot of other songwriters that have come out of Southern Illinois and producers for John Connolly, and
sure,
on the list goes. I mean, people sometimes, you know, and we've got some great guitar slingers that we've had over the years, literally Grand Ole Opry material.
Right.
Glassers, right, on the list goes.
Sure.
And so when you go down there, you're taking a swing at a ball, and boy, songwriting really got traction for you first, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And I actually read an article. I can't remember if it was the New York Times or what it was, but they said you have a better shot at being a Major League Baseball player than writing a hit song.
And, well, then you're World Series material.
Well, apparently.
Gary Allen, mm-hmm. Jake Owen. I mean, we can start going down the list. And, you know, the descriptions of you and your songwriting, just some of it, one of the finest artist-songwriters. Right? You got to love titles like this. You're working with people like Randy Houser. Rolling Stone Country describes you as a bluesies riff-heavy rocker that calls to mind the restless Southern rock of the Allman Brothers and Hank Williams Jr.'s whiskey-soaked howl. That's pretty nice. And then, you got a song written on the album. You wrote, 10 of the 11, and one of them's written by Charlie Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
You got pretty good company there, my friend.
Not too bad, yeah. Yeah, I'm just lucky to get in a room with some of these people, that's for sure.
I mean, because we could go down the list with this. People from the Black Crowes and Sheryl Crow, Darius Rucker, harmonica players that play Willie Nelson, Mickey Raphael. Is this part of what is called the Kendall Marvel honky tonk experience?
It is, yeah. Yeah, we have a little residency down in Nashville at an old rock club called the Exit Inn that we do once a month. And we just, I always play songs off my record, and then we do cover songs after that, Waylon Jennings or Merle Haggard, whatever.
So
then,
you just pile on.
And we have guests. We've had Jamie Johnson, Brothers Osborne, Alison Krauss, Randy Houser, Jake Owen. You know, lots of people stop in, and Nick Jonas came in from the Jonas Brothers.
Don't kid.
So it's just like we just get random people,
yeah,
and they get up and sing their favorite cover songs, you know, some old honky-tonk songs.
And each night you think, that's better than making tires.
It is, yeah. Nothing wrong with making tires.
No.
For the folks up there, it just wasn't what I was cut out to do, I don't guess.
Because this is the interesting part that, you know, you've had a list of Southern Illinois supporters that goes back to the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and like I said, memory gets a little foggy at a certain age there, Kendall, so you're going to have to help me out. One of your first public appearances, Sling County Fair.
Probably, yeah. That was, yeah. I played a couple fair. I used to play there, down at Ridgeway at the Popcorn Days and places like that. Yeah, they gave me a shot early on, that's for sure.
Right, and you were a little guy.
I was a youngster, yeah.
And so when I was doing the commercials for those first public events for you in the early 80s, they come and say, you're going to have to recut the commercial. And why is that? Because it's not Kendall Marvel. Well, it's Kendall Marvell.
I come up with some weird stuff back then.
Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
And I'm going, no, but it's not Kendall, it's Kendall Marvel. And they know, no, it's not. And you go in there and recut it, it's Kendall Marvell. But it's not. Well, I got into that fun thing. And they go, Mom and Dad says it's Kendall Marvell. It's Kendall Marvell.
That is funny.
So I did your first radio commercials, probably around 83, 82,
yeah.
84,
yeah.
Somewhere in there. I'm a little, mm-hmm. That's what I finally call the wild turkey years.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, so they kind of run together there, don't they?
Right. And, yeah. And you know, when I saw you at Saline County Fair, well, you weren't all grown up and you didn't have a beard, my friend.
That's true. And I probably had hair on the top of my head as
you
well.
Did. Yeah. But we've both gone the same way on that deal, too. But these things that you've done all along the way, I very often find that people, after a certain moment, you gain a little perspective and you realize of all those things that went on, they make you up and they give you that reservoir that you write from.
Mm-hmm. I had plenty of stuff to write about around here, that's for sure.
Do you think that people have, because this is an image now, that there has to be something wrong with you if you're creative. You know, something just a little off.
Some people think, you know, that you live every song you write. You know, if that was the case, then I'd be divorced or in jail or dead. One of the three, if I'd lived all these songs that I write. So, but, I mean, you draw, you know, it's a very rural area around here, you know. And people, when I tell them I'm from Illinois, they think Chicago. And I was like, you know, it's the furthest thing from Chicago as you could get.
When they say Kendall Marvel, the first thing I think is Thompsonville, Galatia.
That's right.
Although I've never been able to pick which one.
I grew up right in the middle of them. It's a little unincorporated place called West End. It's right on the Franklin-Saline County line right there. Dad had a little farm out there, and that's where I grew up at. And I went to Galatia School till I was a sophomore, and then switched to Thompsonville School.
Right. So I was pretty close, Galatia Thompsonville,
yep.
Going, I
yep.
don't know which
hit them both.
It's one
yep.
of the two. This new album, how's it selling?
I don't know yet. I think it's doing okay. It debuted on, showed up on the iTunes charts in the 20s the other day.
Good.
It was I'm the only independent artist that was in the top 50.
Outstanding.
So that was, it was pretty cool to see.
Because you have taken everything that you've got, your connections with songwriters, your connections with musicians, and you have finally, because this was referred to in one of the articles that I wrote about this new album called Low Down and Lonesome, it was written that it was a concept album.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we built everything around that song. The whole album, every song, I'm either low down or I'm lonesome.
Okay. So it's one of the two others, State of Disrepair then.
Yeah. And it's not a sad record. I mean, you think that with that title, Low Down and Lonesome, it would be all sad stuff, but it's pretty rocking and pretty up-tempo, and it's got some ballads on it, but it's pretty driving.
All right, so I've been doing this for 42 years, start 43 years next week,
mm-hmm.
And rock and roll's dead.
That's a shame.
I hate to say it,
but, yeah.
But rock and roll's dead, boys. And so what I very often found now, Kendall, is that the people I find now are the Chris Stapletons, the Kendall Marvels, you know, the first two albums from Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't get off those, but if I want something new, now Bob Seger did write a new song, not
right.
bad,
mm-hmm.
Like it. And you see a little of that trickle out. Bob Seger's 72 years old.
Right.
I'm not going to see another double live album from Bob Seger.
Right.
You and the people like you are the ones that I go from whenever I'm going to be alone for 20 minutes and I get my pick and nobody else, because it talks to me.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, you know, we grew up on that same kind of, on Bob Seger and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Right,
and
because Low Down and Lonesome, I hear Skynyrd with ZZ Top on the guitar.
Sure, yeah.
And does that make sense to you, by the way?
It makes perfect sense, yeah, because the guitar player on that, the guy's name is Audley Freed, and was in the Black Crowes at one time.
Right.
And that song, actually, Randy Houser had cut that song in the past because I wrote it with him and Keith Gaddis. And when we cut the record, we didn't play him any recorded versions. We just took an acoustic guitar and we'd play these songs and kind of let the band come up with their own idea of what it should sound like. That's how the most creative that way.
Because we all stand, you know, I think on the shoulders of giants.
Absolutely.
You know, and then once you get past that I've got to make something totally... I mean, we want our own voice, but we very often find it. Boy, that little thing from there and that little thing from there. I mean, I listen to Aerosmith half the time, and I hear Led Zeppelin.
Sure. Everybody's influenced by somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, you know, degrade that, and I'm going, no, man, he's making that his own. This is his own. You know, to be so lucky is to be able to have the talent to do that.
Right. Yeah, it was a fun process to to spend that much time. Normally, we go in the studio and we're in a hurry, you know, we're trying to get as many songs in a four-hour span as we can because we're demoing them to pitch to other people. But we took our time with this, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you what, I enjoy it. And,
thank you.
And what's interesting is, gosh, people are going to listen to the radio, they're going, this guy's a nut. I mean, I listen to Black Sabbath, and yes.
Sure.
Rush.
Mm-hmm.
But good old boys like me by Don Williams is in the mix with me too.
I love Don, yeah.
Right? Don's my guy.
Yeah. I mean, Don was my neighbor for years.
When I was working nights at the radio station in Harrisburg, 6 to midnight, you know, I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going, well, I like the way this guy sounds, so I'm going to try to sound like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. I wanted to sound like Don Williams, except as a radio announcer.
Right.
And same thing for you.
Sure.
Who did you look up to?
I mean, I loved Hank Williams Jr., any of that, you know, Waylon Jennings, that 70s, Willie Nelson, you know, any of that stuff. And then when Randy Travis come along, it was a little more traditional, but I just loved the tone of his voice, how rich it was and
expressive.
Pure. It was just a pure, simple voice, really.
And you get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It
a lot of people got it, yeah.
Hey, are you doing a gig this weekend? I think I saw you're doing a gig.
Yeah.
Black Diamond?
Over at Black Diamond, yeah. Yeah, me and Chad are old friends, and I've done several things here, but nothing like this. You know, this is my first kind of headlining thing at the warehouse back there, and it's a benefit as well for the local food pantries. $20 to get in, you get a free CD. First chance to get a physical copy CD actually at a show, so that's kind of cool. And then the rest of it goes to local food pantries. So,
well, I have a hard time conditioning this as you being a headliner because I've been a supporter of yours since the early 80s, because you've been my guy. Of course, at one point, you were my boy.
Right, exactly.
You're my guy.
Exactly.
So, because I always wanted to support you, and of course, at a distance, and I was able to do that through radio. So, I mean, for me, seeing this story arc makes me, you know, really proud seeing my Southern Illinois Saline County boy hitting it with this new CD, because we're seeing this kind of success with David Lee Murphy and his new one with Chesney.
Sure.
And here, so we're hitting on all cylinders here in Southern Illinois, thanks to you. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I couldn't do it without all the support I had here for years and years, that's for sure.
All right. So where did you eat pickled eggs and jerky at in Saline County?
War Dads. You remember War Dads?
I do remember War Dads.
Yeah, I used to play there. Played, of course, out of Muddy out there at
Molinarolo's.
At Molinarolo's, that's right. Yeah,
Jim was my friend for many years. Worked there myself.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, I played lots of places. I can't remember the names of half of them. Dan's Place out there on 13. On Old 13.
I kept the light on there for 10 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, I did.
then we graduated, you know, moved on down to Old Town, down to Shawneetown down there, and played a couple of them places where, you know, you're lucky to get out of there alive sometimes.
Yeah, well, you got the tree on the left was for the boys, and the trees on the right was for the girls.
That's right.
And you depend on what was whitewashed on the side of the tree, you knew which restroom you were
there
at.
You go. That's right.
The only place I've ever seen pickled chicken's feet, ever.
I can't say I've ever had pickled chicken's feet.
I didn't have it. I did look at it.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I don't believe I'd be sampling that.
I've raised way too many chickens to do that.
I have, too. I hear you.
Kendall, best of luck, pal.
Hey, thank you, Tom.